This is Jones Financial Talk with Nick Jones from Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. Nick provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Jones Financial Talk with your host, Nick Jones.
Well, hello and welcome back to Jones Financial Talk. Listeners, this is Nick Jones from Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions. If you'd like more information about what you hear on this fine show today, you can get that information in a couple of different ways. You can either just go to our website at jonesfinancialtalk.com. You can click on the radio page. You can listen to all of our past shows. And also, you can send us information about future shows that you'd like to have topic-wise for us to cover. If you want to reach out to us locally here in the Rogue Valley, we are at 541-500-4321. And that's another way that you can get a hold of us. Today, we're going to be talking with portfolio manager Tyler Ellegaard. This is the part two conversation on interest rates. But before we bring him in, we also have our awesome co-host, Mr. Tony Shore, with us. He and I are going to get started with this topic and kind of recap a little bit about what we covered in the last show. How you doing, Tony?
Well, I'm doing great. It's been a fantastic day, a fantastic week. I've just been so busy. Hey, I don't know if you know about this or if our listeners know about this, but last week there was a presidential election.
I'm sure that they do know that. Yep, that happened. So, and as a result of that, a lot of other things happened that we're going to talk about probably on the show having to do with interest rates, Tony.
Yeah, and we're going to have a special guest on today. When they get on the show, we'll ask them about that. That's kind of the big surprise for today's show. But between you and I, it is interesting. Now we might see those tax cuts extended that were going to expire at the end of next year. We'll see the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. We'll see if that was set to expire, but we want to keep those taxes low, hopefully. But they're kind of in a rock and a hard place because the federal deficit and our budget deficit is huge, and U.S. debt is huge. So we'll see what can be accomplished here. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, well, previously on the last show, Tony, right before the election happened, we were talking with Tyler about interest rates and how high they were, yep, where they were at. And, you know, to recap a little bit, the Federal Reserve had previously cut rates just one time in September, and they were set to either keep things level, cut rates, or increase them the day after the presidential election. And they actually decided to cut rates by about 0.25%. And a lot of people ask, well, is that political? You know, is that because Mr. Trump got into office? And we all know the background between Trump and Jerome Powell, who leads the Fed as the chairman. But it wasn't politically based. They had already decided that they were going to do it. And so that is going to have some implications on the types of solutions that we want and will talk about on the show and what's going to happen in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months. But a lot of the policy that Mr. Trump is going to put into place will be affected by interest rate movements. And that's going to be a positive for some and a negative for others. Sure. You know, there's always a trade-off.
Sure. And we'll see how much of that he can get done. It is, I think, a lot of people, Republicans and Democrats, were both surprised at how, to use a term of his, bigly he won. I mean, it was really a decisive victory, and the markets respond well to decisiveness. A lot of people predicted, myself included, I admit I was wrong. I thought it would be close and drag out for weeks, and there would be lawsuits and recounts. And it looks like, as of today, this recording, that the Republicans are going to have all three branches of government. So the good is that they won a sweeping victory. The downside for them, and could possibly be whatever happens in the next 4 years, they'll own it. Right.
Yes,
so we hope for good things regardless of who gets in. We want what's best for the country and for the people and for our economy. And, you know, for retirees, I don't think, again, I know you said in the last show, you told people not to panic regardless of what happens, even if your person doesn't get in or does get in. Don't let emotions dictate what you do. Work with a financial professional, right? That's kind of the punchline, isn't it?
Well, definitely. And there's always going to be turmoil in the news and things that happen, events that we can't predict, you know. And I do want to remind listeners that last week when the market went up drastically after the presidential election, Tony, you're correct. It was somewhat because it was such a decisiveness, you know, outcome of the election. But also remember the topic that we're talking about today, interest rates did go down by another quarter point the next day.
That's true. Good point.
And so I'm not saying that's the reason why the market went up, but I'll tell you this, the market had projected that there was going to be a rate cut. And if there wasn't a rate cut, if they had reversed that and decided not to, that might've been a negative thing. Right. So Tyler was talking last time about the fact of, you know, the reasoning behind why the Fed decides to cut rates and for what reasons. And, you know, part of it's because we have a strong economy and also because unemployment is low, right? Yeah. But they're trying to basically get the interest rate level back down to the normal inflation rate that they want to have in place. Now, a lot of the things that could occur as a result of Mr. Trump coming into office could directly affect a lot of these things. It could affect unemployment. It could affect policy and how companies decide to spend money. And some of that has to do with taxes, but a lot of it also has to do with just specific hot topics and regulation that could come into play, or deregulation, which probably will happen, right? And so just touching on one of those things that I've actually been asked about this week is deregulation. So there's been a lot of talk that President Trump, when he comes in, is going to replace the SEC, chairman, right? And so that's a specific example of how it could affect something in our industry really quickly, you know? And so just because Trump got in doesn't necessarily mean that things will get better or worse. It just, time will tell, and we'll just have to figure that out. But it's nice to have, you know, people like Tyler in our arsenal to be able to ask him questions and talk with him about these types of things, like we're going to now.
Excellent. Yeah, we're going to welcome our very special guest, Tyler Ellegaard, portfolio manager for Gradient Investments. And basically, I think his nickname is The Wizard. That's what a lot of people out there refer to Tyler. Of course, looking at for those watching on YouTube, it looks like we might call Tyler Monkey in the Middle. Is the good term, because he's in the center square on today's Hollywood Jones squares, right? This is a great episode. Tyler, thanks for coming. Nick and I were just talking about the presidential election. I don't know if you knew this or not, Tyler, but last week there was an election. Did you know that?
I did not. That's news. Wow.
We were trying to do our best, Tyler, to recap a lot of the topics that we discussed last week. And I also reminded Tony that, you know, the day after the presidential election, the Fed did decide to cut rates and go down. And that was a big part of what we were talking about, you know. But Tony was funny. He said, well, I don't know if anybody realizes there was actually an election last week, clearly.
Yeah. So, and Nick did remind me, I said, well, I think the markets jumped up. It responded well because it was a decisive victory. I think people were expecting a lot of turmoil, weeks and weeks, if not months, of lawsuits. It would be close. There would be recounts. And I don't think the market responds well to that type of thing. But the decisiveness, whether you are a Trump fan or not, the bigness of the victory, the way in which it was won and the decisiveness, I think probably helped. But then Nick said, yeah, also the lowering of interest rates probably was a good thing too. Is that, what do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, I think just on the president election side, I think the market. So if you, Tony, to your point, if you look back to 2001, the Al Gore debacle, that election dragged on. And so there's a lot of uncertainty of who's going to be in office. In a normal presidential election year, the market typically goes up. Now, it typically doesn't go up a lot. You could say 3 to 5%, I think, is the average. But in the case of the 2000-2001 election with Al Gore, because it dragged out, I think the market was down, I believe, 12% during the time until they finally figured it out. So, yes, you're right. Markets do not like it when we don't know who's going to be our president. So I think the fact that it was such a decisive victory for Trump, you know, regardless of who you voted for, it was a pretty decisive victory. And the market likes that. I think the other part of it is not only the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates, but you have the potential of what Trump's policies are and what he ran on. And for corporations, that's a 15% tax, right? Which is down. And so that means that earnings of companies is going to be higher. So when you have greater earnings growth, it means the market can go up. So I think a few of those things combined certainly help the market on the path that we've been on for the last week and a day or so. I guess not even a week and a day.
Yeah, not even. Yeah, about a week.
Tyler, do you think, you know, I've been asked this a lot in the last week, not only about the markets, but specifically, you know, the topic that we've been trying to explore here with interest rates and going down and how that's going to affect client portfolios. Do you think that that you know, Trump has anything to do with making that direction, you know, go down steeper or quicker with pressure?
So Fed Chair Powell got that question at his presser after they cut interest rates. He has said no. First it was a question on, is he going to resign? His resounding answer multiple times was no, and that Trump cannot force him out. So Chair Powell, the nice thing about the Federal Reserve is that they are supposed to be separate entities, right? They're not supposed to work together on doing this and that. Now, under certain circumstances, they can, like COVID, they had to work with the Treasury to try to, you know, get money out to people as businesses were closed. So there are certain instances, but generally speaking, they should be separate. And Chair Powell has shown that the Federal Reserve can be separate from politics, which is fantastic. So I don't think, so obviously Trump's not going to be able to get him out, which means I think Powell is going to continue on this fundamental path of how strong is our economy and truly where should interest rates be, not just where does Trump want the interest rates to be, which I think is a great thing for the markets. I mean, markets would obviously like to go back to 0% interest rates, but the Fed is going to be separate from any political action, which is great. So I don't think interest rates will be affected necessarily by who's going to be in office or influenced, I should say, by anybody.
Right. Yeah, that's, I think that's good. I hope they can keep that separation no matter who's in office. The Fed needs to focus on their thing, but it does affect Trump's policies and vice versa, probably, right? I mean, Trump's policies could affect the economy, which can affect Jerome Powell's job, and Jerome Powell, what he does with the interest rates can affect what Trump is doing too, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the big concerns that I think the market is trying to grapple with, and you're seeing it in the longer term interest rates, that like the 7-year treasury, the 10-year treasury, the longer term interest rates, you're seeing the concern of what could happen with inflation if Trump puts global tariffs on. I think the initial policy that he was running on was like 20 or 25% tariffs for basically anything coming from outside of the US and then 60% on Chinese goods. So, I mean, that tariffs typically lead to inflationary pressures. Now, does it directly make inflation go up? Not necessarily, but it can influence inflation. Trump had put tariffs on back in 2017, 2018. We didn't see that affect the inflation rate all that much. Companies were able to eat that additional cost and not have to really pass it on to consumers. But the fact that we're going to be on a global tariff basis and even higher on China with the 60%, I think the market is a bit concerned about that, which would lead to higher inflation, which would lead to the Federal Reserve having to keep interest rates where they're at or potentially raise them again.
Sure. So there's lots of options, huh?
Yeah, and if there's a little bit of a reality check there, and from even just a week ago, Tyler, it's that we maybe are in the situation where rates won't be going down as quickly as we initially anticipated. You know, I was thinking today that we would share with our listeners some of the things that they should consider if they're in cash or CDs or money market accounts, these very secure portfolios, you know, thinking that interest rates are going to go down, what should they typically do? But maybe that's not as important of a topic. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it, again, I think there's a lot of perception versus reality happening right now too. The perception of what Trump is going to do versus the reality of what actually gets put in place. And so the markets are just trading based on that perception of what's going to happen right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just trying to pull up what the expectation is for the Federal Reserve. So, you know, they're still expected to cut by 0.25% next month in December at their final meeting of 2025. And then if we look at what the expectation is for 2025, this would tell us that the Federal Reserve is expecting to do about another percent, so 4 interest rate cuts to 5 interest rate cuts next year as well, which is pretty, I would say that's been pretty consistent. At one point there pricing in a little bit more, maybe 6 interest rate cuts next year and when I say cut, I mean 0.25%. So it really hasn't changed at all yet. Now there have been fluctuations, but I still think that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to lower their interest rates. Now where that ending point is going to be could be within 0.25% here or there. So I think they're going to have to cut. They're going to continue to cut just to keep the consumers healthy and moving forward in spending.
That makes sense. I mean, we've been in this situation where it's been so good for free money for so long. I mean, we have to just come back to that conversation that there's going to be risk in everything that we do, you know. And last week when we had spoke a little bit, you were talking about how, you know, the long bonds, the 30-year term bonds are, you know, essentially paying what a 10-year bond is possibly, right? In the 4 somewhere. So nobody wants to reset their portfolio with a longer term bond. Is that correct? They need to stay short if they're going to stay in this situation.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, right now a 3-month treasury is paying 4.5%. A 10-year treasury is paying 4.43%. Right. So it's the exact same. But as the Federal Reserve continues to cut, that's where you're going to start to see the 3-month treasury, rather than paying 4.5%, it's going to be 4%, and then they'll cut some more, and it'll be 3.75%, so on and so forth. And so that's going to keep coming down. Whereas with the longer term bonds, you know, in a normal world, and I'm not going to go too deep into this, but typically there's a spread that you would get for owning a 10-year bond versus a 3-month treasury. Okay. So basically what that means is we're kind of right where the interest rates should be at on the long end in the 7, 10s, 20s, and 30s, but we still need to keep coming down in the 3-month, 6-month, so the shorter end. So that means that as this continues, you're going to have to start going out further, whether that's the 5, 7, 10, 20-year bonds, to maintain that same level of income that you're currently getting on the shorter term bonds.
Right. Okay. So, you know, for the clients that are are living off of their savings and trying to get some interest in some way. Like, what are the, what's kind of the next step? I know that there's been lots of things that I've discussed with clients in the last year or so, kind of knowing that rates are going to probably go down. And so if it eventually happens, you know, and nobody wants to have those longer bonds and the shorter bonds start producing a lot less return, we've got to get creative with how we give our clients, you know, income here, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think you do a good job of this, Nick, right? But it's understanding where and how much risk you want to take, right? Because we can get you, you know, a 8% yield, but you're going to have a lot more price fluctuations. So, you know, maybe you like the fact that the current portfolio that you're using, it's called our stable value portfolio, where, you know, the principal might fluctuate a very, very small amount, but you're still getting that 4.5% yields. You know, maybe if you like that, but you don't want to necessarily just keep getting less and less as the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates, that's where, you know, you could maybe go to a bond portfolio that we call our ladder 2 year or ladder 3 year, where you're just investing in the 2 year maturity bonds, the 3 year maturity bonds, where you're not extending your risk too much. Yeah. There might be a small amount more of price fluctuation in the overall value of your portfolio, but that way you're also maintaining the same level of income that you're getting right now, right? But if you do want to take on more of that risk, that's where we can go out into a portfolio that we call our fixed income total return. And this is the one that you and I have had a lot of discussions on, where, you know, this, we can go out into the 10-year treasuries, the 20-year treasuries. We can even, you know, start adding a mixture of investment grade bonds that pay higher yields. But again, it comes with some added risk, because you're the classic curve, right? The more risk, the more reward, or more reward that you want, the more risk you have to take. It's just the nature of markets. You can't have the 20% returns with no risk, right? There's always that give and take. And so there's certainly a number of different avenues that people can go to maintain or even increase the amount of income that they're generating. But again, it's just that question of how risky do you want to be?
You know, and that's exactly why I wanted to start talking about this and have a couple of radio shows with Tyler and Tony, because, you know, listeners, if your advisor is not having the conversation with you about this, you know, it's something that you got to figure out, start talking with them about. I'm trying to get ahead of the game with my investors and making sure that I can give them some good opportunities of things they should move into before it's in a situation where they're not making really any interest and it's maybe a little bit too late to move. And so, that's partially why you should be talking to your advisor on a regular basis. You know, if they're doing what they should do, then they're talking to people like Tyler all the time. And trying to figure out, pick his brain and try to figure out if there's better alternatives for you in your portfolio. That's a huge point of why we're doing the show.
Well, and it's good to know there are options, Tyler, from what you're saying and Nick, what you've said on past shows, and especially now, it seems like there are more options. I mean, when you guys start talking about bonds, I cringe, because I just know that for so long bonds were, I mean, awful, right? I mean, bonds were not, used to be great, 60-40. I got 60% high risk, 40% in bonds, and that's safety. Well, bonds are still risky, and for a long time that didn't work. For the last, what, 5-10 years, bonds have not been great, right? But now we've seen a comeback a little bit with bonds, right, Tyler?
Yeah. Well, so I think Nick and Tony, we had kind of talked about this a little bit on the last show, but there's an inverse relationship with where interest rates are at and the price of your bond. So when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. And when interest rates go down, bond prices go up. So obviously coming off of, you know, COVID, the interest rates were effectively zero. And then the Federal Reserve did the fastest increase in interest rates of their policy rate that we've seen. And they had to bring interest rates up to try to control inflation. And so because of that, we saw bond prices fall quite dramatically in what typically is referred to as the safe asset in the markets. We saw bonds down 13% in 2022. The good news now is you're actually getting paid to own bonds again, right? And that's where we like bonds here at Gradient. That's why whenever I talk to advisors, I say bonds are sexy again, because there's options. You know, you don't just have to invest in the stock market now or in dividend paying stocks now to try to produce income. There's different avenues. There's different areas within fixed income or bonds that we can play in to try to produce more income or less income, depending on how risky we want to be. So yeah, there's certainly, you know, interesting areas. Like I said, I think bonds are sexy again, is what I'll say.
Well, Nick, and you can offer your clients a lot of different strategies and options. And that's what I love about you being an independent financial advisor, financial services professional, is you look at all the possible options and say, okay, what fits your situation the best? And I think that sets you apart from a lot of so-called financial planners out there, and your relationship with directly with the portfolio managers like Tyler is great. Now, we're almost out of time for today's show, but is there anything else either one of you want to add before we have to go?
One of the last things I just wanted to say, because a lot of people are going to ask me this question, is all of the different thoughts and topics and products and solutions that Tyler mentioned are not necessarily something that you're tied into for a long period of time. We don't talk about short-term investing. That's not what I'm trying to say, but a lot of these types of portfolios are liquid. And so I just wanted to mention that. And thank you, Tyler, very much for joining the show, and Tony, and listeners, if you'd like more information about what you're hearing here, we're going to continue to do these portfolio manager series with Tyler and many other people. You can just go to jonesfinancialtalk.com and request more information, or give us a call at 541-500-4321.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Great show today. Listeners, that does it for today's episode of Jones Financial Talk. Thank you for listening to Jones Financial Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Nick Jones at Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions. Call 541-500-4321 or visit their website at jonesfinancialtalk.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions, a registered investment advisor in the state of Oregon. Insurance products and services are offered through Jones & Associates Insurance Solutions. Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions and Jones & Associates Insurance Solutions are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or enforced by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.